Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and folks, we're back. We are back inside Renaissance Bank on Windward Parkway in Alpharetta, and we're delighted about that. And conditions lighten and things improve, your needs for your business will change. And if you've got, if you've been a victim, maybe that's the best way to say it, of the big bank experience, and you know what I mean, automated voices and 1-800 numbers and so forth, and you can't get in touch with your banker to meet your everyday banking needs, maybe you need a new solution, go to renaissancebank.com and find their local office. They've got some 200 across the Southeast ready to serve you, and give them a call. And I think what you'll find is they are big enough to handle a lot of your needs that you're going to throw at them as a small, medium-sized business, but they're small enough to do it in a personal way. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome Dominic Wallace. Dominic is a managing director with Wallace Capital Funding. Dominic, welcome.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Before we get into the kind of the details of your business, just give everybody a quick overview of Wallace Capital Funding and how you're serving folks out there.
Yeah. So like our mission is we're passionate about growing and providing the resources a business needs to not only be a pillar for their families, but the community as well as their favorite charities. And in our mastery, what we do is we help business owners, real estate investors, and entrepreneurs get access to capital in the shortest period of time with minimum efforts but maximum profits. That's what we do.
Wow. I love all that. That's quite a compelling proposition. But and I want to dive more into that. But let's talk about you for a minute. And give folks a little bit of your background, kind of what your career arc has been and how you ended up getting into this business.
Yes, certainly, certainly. So like a lot of you all, their own businesses, you know, I had a unique journey getting into business. So I went to the University of Virginia. I earned a track and field scholarship there. So I'm going way back, right? And then this is a while ago. So while I was there, because of Title IX, there's nothing on the football side that matches up on the women's side for scholarships. So even though I had track and field scholarship, it wasn't a full ride. So I still had to do, you know, work study and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, during the summers, I became a painter. Now, I'm not a Picasso or anything like that. But what I am doing is I was painting up, you know, apartments for, you know, during the summer where the students were coming in and out.
Sure.
And I actually got really good at it. You know, I'm a good cut man, I guess you would call it. You know, I don't do much painting now, but I'll get to that now. But so once I moved back home after I graduated, you know, I was just like, you know, I had an opportunity to coach in my old high school. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, let me do this painting thing again. So I got a group of guys and talked to a few realtors and that kind of stuff. It was painting a lot of houses in the neighborhood. But what do you do? But just like most people, you know, you want to grow your business, right? Mm-hmm. And the only way that I could think of growing my business was to try to get, you know, do bigger jobs, right? Mm-hmm. I was going from houses to do commercial work. So, and this is when I was living in the Washington, D.C. area. Mm-hmm. And then in their area, All the big commercial buildings are either owned or operated by what? Either some kind of government agency or corporation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So first thing I would do is I would talk to them and about trying to get some work. And I was like, hey, you know, do you guys have some work for me? And they's like, well, you know what? We don't make that decision. And they sent me to the property manager and said the property manager. So I talked to the property manager. So if you can, for those who can't see me, if you can imagine, mm-hmm. You got the owner here and then the property manager underneath them make that decision. And so they said, Dominic, you know, hey, we appreciate you calling us, but you're too small for us to work directly. You need to go talk to the general contractor. So now we got all these layers, right?
Right, right.
And so now for you, what would be the first question that you would ask the general contractor, with the GC? What would be the first question you would ask them?
I don't know. You tell me, Dominic. Yeah, I'm just asking the questions here. You tell me.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Well, just rhetorically for the other people out there. So I said, how do I get paid?
Yeah, right.
Isn't that what you want to know as a small business?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but now remember, we had all these layers, right? You got the owner, the government agency, property manager, GC, uh-huh. And the GC said, we'll pay you when we get paid. And mm-hmm. I was just like, this is crazy, right? This is crazy.
Right, for sure.
Because if I go paint your house, you know, you like the job I do, you know, you cut me a check or run your credit card or give me cash right then and there, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to wait. And then the other thing they said was, if you send us an invoice by the 20th of the month, we'll net 30 day you a check after that. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. Because like I was just telling you before, you know, I go to your house or get paid, you know, imagine going to the grocery store, right? And walking out and telling, you know, with this drink, just can you invoice me? They would look at you crazy.
Right.
You need to pay before you leave, buddy.
Yeah.
But that's the way the commercial world works. So I'm scrambling trying to figure out, because the guys, if I went to my guys who work with me if I'm painting and I say, fellas, can you wait 30 days after I get paid? They would look at me crazy.
Yeah. Well, I think what specifically, you say this is the way it works in the commercial world. I mean, we have to be like kind of frank about this. This is the way it works with way big business treats small business. I mean, let's just call that out. That's the way this works. I mean, it's right. if small business wants to do work for a bigger business, then those payment terms sometimes get imposed on the smaller business, and they have to work with that if they want to do the work, right?
And why is it? They're the ones have all the money. The small guys, that's just crazy. So I'm trying to figure this out. I'm like, I need to figure this. If I want to do the commercial world, I got to figure out how to manage this gap between, you know, when I'm going to get paid and when mm-hmm. I have to pay out.
Right.
And so unfortunately, the bank wasn't available to me at the time. So somebody recommended a company, which was a factor. And basically, for those that don't know, a factor, what they'll do is as much as you have invoices, you know, they'll advance on those invoices to give you cash now instead of waiting later on.
Mm-hmm.
And the benefit of that is as much as you can invoice, you can have access to cash.
Right.
Because typically, unfortunately, sometimes the bank is about what you've done in the past and not necessarily the opportunities you have in front of you. And so I thought that was the greatest thing since sliced bread, because I was like, I told all my contracting buddies and you know, making those connections. And the finance company was like, well, wow, we'll pay you a commission for all these contacts. And guess what? I was making more money – making these connections that I was in my contracting business. So I was like, man, there's something to the financing thing, right?
I see a change of career coming.
So I went to the dark side, right? I said, let me go to the financing side. But all seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, the great thing about helping a small business and in your world of work, you know, you help them get their message out, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you not only you help that small business owner, their family, but you also help all the families that are employed by that business, but also all the community too. Because typically, who's hitting up the small business for, you know, t-shirts for the t-ball team and that kind of stuff? The small business owner, right?
Yeah.
And so by being able to provide, you know, working capital and finance a small business is more than just that individual. So I was like, that's what I want to do. And so there was a program that this guy had, you know, to show people how to be with what I would call a business financial consultant, mm-hmm. basically linking up people to financial sources to grow their business. And he had owned the bank and all that kind of stuff. And so I took his tutelage and I hanged out my, my business card out there and say, hey, here I am. And here I am almost 20 years later.
That's a great story. Folks, as we have Dominic Wallace on the show today, and Dominic is with Wallace Capital Funding. Now, Dominic, I don't normally correct my guests, but I mean, I take exception to you saying this is the dark side. I mean, you really are, seriously. I mean, you explained how you help, but yeah. I mean, this is not, there's nothing, this is not even worth joking about, right? I mean, you do great work for businesses that really need it. And if they're going to grow, they need access to capital. And sometimes, I mean, we love our banks, but sometimes the banks don't do the kind of work you do, right?
Yeah. And I, you know I joke around with that all the time, but, you know, cause money is a lot of times emotionally charged for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, and, mm-hmm. and we got to be careful of putting our self-worth into money. That's a whole different conversation, right? We go down another rabbit hole on that.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that, you know, it's just a tool, just like anything else.
Yeah.
You just want to make sure that you have the right tool for whatever you're doing. You don't want to hammer a nail with a screwdriver. You just want to make sure that you have the right financial tool.
Yeah, for sure. Now I brought up, you know, banks. I mean, talk about specifically, and I guess I kind of alluded to it and let the cat out of the bag a little bit, but you know, what your company has in common with major banks and what, how you differentiate yourself from a bank.
Yeah. So like, and people go to a website and like, if we were going, we were watching together, I would show this to you, but if you go to sbfe.org, that's SBFE. So Sam Bravo Foxtrot Echo.org. And if you go to the bottom of that screen, you'll see like major banks there, like Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Amex, Capital One on that screen. And then you'll see us, our little logo. It'll be a little eagle with Wallace Capital Funding on there with them. And basically I tell people to go there for two reasons. One, for credibility, to show you that, you know, we're with those other financial institutions, but other reasons how that helps. So Reese, just real quick. So I told a lady came to me, and she is an engineering and architecture firm.
Mm-hmm.
And similar to me, she has a similar situation to me. And she designs those like bus depots. So like if you're waiting on the bus, you don't get rained on. And she does that. And so, and she does a lot of business with municipalities, government, you know, government agencies and so forth, city, state governments. And so she was came to me and she's like, Dominic, help, help, help. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And she was like, well, it takes me 10 business days to get paid on this invoice. It's now taking me 30, 45, 60 days to get paid. And I was just like, what's going on? And it's like, can you help me out? And I was like, well, yeah, I'll give you a, you know, receiver-based line of credit, like so we were talking about earlier. But more importantly, and so that she could make payroll and she had a, you know, building to pay on and those kind of things. But more importantly, I was also looking at her financials. So like we have a CPA on our team and he's more so focused on, you know, the QuickBooks and that kind of stuff, the financials and profitability. We saw some things on her financials because if you can imagine, you work with a lot of business owners, and no fault of their own, but you know, they're kind of focused either, you know, on one thing at a time. And sometimes just by you being an outsider, you can look at something in their business and you can say, oh, and they'll say, oh, okay, I didn't see that. And so we saw something that how she can be a little more profitable in the business. So I'd say it's always beyond the money. It's more than just providing the money, but making sure they're profitable, right? Make sure they have the financial tool. So we reported that payment history to the Small Business Financial Exchange. And if you link on that Small Business Financial Exchange, you could see like there's the certified partners. We report that payment history to the Small Business Financial Exchange. And then they report it like the DMB, Dun & Bradstreet, Equifax, Experian, and LexisNexis. And here's what happened. So the bank, they saw all the cash going flowing through her account, which they were like, wow, okay, this is good. And they would ask for her financials, and we helped her improve those financials to be more profitable. And then they also pulled her business credit report, and they saw, you know, our payment history. And they were like, well, hey, we want to fund you now. And she was like, well, where were you several months ago? And unfortunately, sometimes that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But a lot of times, so we were able to transition her back to the bank and help her out. And that was good because, you know, the bank sometimes have a advantage over us because they, you know, they basically, the money that we deposit in their accounts, they actually lend that money back out to us, right? And so, you know, we're not a depository institution. We don't have checking accounts or saving accounts. So our yield is just a little bit more. But I will say this, and I had time to share this. So I had day before yesterday, we also do real estate.
Mm-hmm.
A guy, he was trying to buy a quadplex. A local bank offered him a 20-year of the 6.99 interest rate.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, all our loans are commercial real estate, or even investment property are 30 years. And so, and then our interest rate that I was able to quote him was 5.8. So we were able to beat the bank in that one thing. You know, a lot of times because of our amortization, I'm not going to say all the time our interest rates are better, but, you know, but in that instance, we were able to do better than the bank. So sometimes, you know, it's good to give us a call and see if we can have a shot, you know, to maybe beat what the bank is doing or give you a different tool
mm-hmm.
in your tool bag that the bank maybe doesn't have.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. So let's talk about the types of businesses that you work with, the ones that are good fits for you.
So one of the mnemonic devices I'll say, any contact that has a contract, contacts with contracts are good. So those are companies that, you know, like my story, you know, they talking to a GC or somebody like said is saying, I'll pay you when I get paid. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see if I can bridge the gap with them, improve their cash flow, and then eventually transition them back to the bank. And that could be, you know, construction and construction contracting, or it could be just a company that's doing some government work, contracting work, either with a large corporation or a government agency. Mm-hmm. Those would be good. And then the other thing we can do, because the local Chamber of Commerce referred us a company that was relocating here. It was actually, it's kind of interesting. It was a German company that was locating here in the States. Mm-hmm. And they needed this really large 3D printer. And it was kind of interesting. They were explaining to me that, you know, the 3D printer develops this pill where it's the better absorption and in the body and all that kind of. I'll be honest with you, I kind of got lost in the technical mumble jumble on the thing. I was just like, help me out. How much does the equipment cost?
Yeah.
What's the obsolescence meaning? Like, how long does it last? And how much money you think you can make with this piece of equipment was I'm looking at. And then the funny thing, they sent me their financials, because this is a German company, you know, and I had to use Google Translate on some of the stuff.
Yeah.
On the financial.
Yeah.
So I'm here trying to figure out what some of the things I was saying. But anyway, but they needed money to facilitate, you know, for their equipment, you know, to facilitate an opportunity that they were working on. So that would be a good thing. Mm-hmm. And then real estate investors that are looking to, you know, buy real estate, or individuals who are trying to renovate a property or maybe even build a property, you know, for their business. There's a few clients like I'm working with to try to help them, and working on a small hotel project. But, you know, anyone that is, you know, looking to grow, you know, great opportunities for me.
Yeah. So, you say contact with a contract. I like that. That's a good way to look at it. If I'm a business owner and I've got these invoices outstanding, do I basically sell the invoice to you at a discount and you give me proceeds? Is that the way it works, or do I collect the money and then pay the loan back with that money? How does the fund flows work?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the reason why factoring is different than like a traditional line of credit, you know, like a loan. And I tell everybody I'm an asset-based lender, meaning that, you know, basically what's on your balance sheet, you can utilize those to get cash. Mm-hmm. So that's that. And in this case, as you mentioned, those are invoices. So you're in essence, the agreement that it says you're actually selling those invoices for cash. You know, money today is worth more than money tomorrow, right? And so, you know, we'll buy that invoice today. So we'll, you know, we'll say, hey, you know, how much is it worth you to get the money today versus waiting on? And you say X amount, and I say, well, we'll give you, you know, a certain percentage of that. You know, typically it's upwards to 80% of that invoice today. And then when the invoice gets paid, we'll give you the rest minus whatever the fee that we both negotiated.
Gotcha.
And that's pretty much how it works. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. Well, so Dominic, as we kind of wind down here, let's get to maybe a success story, someone who you've worked with that you're particularly proud of the result that you've been able to deliver for them.
All right. Now, I know I've been talking about asset-based lending and so forth. So like when I first got into business, I was mainly the consultant. So like, I'll quickly tell you this one story. So like when I first, so I'm originally from the Washington, D.C. area. And then, you know, now I'm down here, not too far from you guys over to the next state, right, on 20. And when I moved down here, I came to the local SBA office and I said, hey, you know, you go to the SBA because you want to be get connected with the business community. And I said, hey, I'm here. I'm doing this kind of receivable financing thing. They said, well, hey, we got this. It sounds like it'd be a good thing for you to meet bankers. And I said, well, yeah, I want to meet bankers. Dodge, connect me some bankers. And they said, well, check this out. We got this program called the 7A pre-qual program. And I was like, you know, government has all these weird names for stuff. And I said, well, what is that? You know, and they said, well, basically what it is packaging these small business working capital loans for banks and financial institutions. And I was like, well, wow, that's interesting. I know I'm kind of focused on this alternative financing stuff. And you know, they kind of basically, you know, based on that, I lamented and said, well, yeah, maybe this would be a great opportunity to connect with banks. And what it helped me do is it helped me learn the traditional with the non-traditional. And with that, so I learned to package, you know, these SBA loans. And then we'll just say now going to this client you're asking me about. So I had two educators come to me, and this was probably one of the most fun projects that I had. And one, she was a school counselor, and her husband was assistant principal. And they, you know, they came to me and they said, Dominic, you know, we're getting on to retirement soon, but we're still young, you know, the great thing about sometimes you go right into school and retirement, you get another, you can get another career, another opportunity. And so they said, well, we know kids, right? We know kids. We have this idea that we want to do what's called a pretend play center for kids. So like, imagine putting on a white coat and walking around and say, hey, I'm a doctor, or I'm a chemist, right? Mm-hmm. Or you put a red hat on, you'd be like, and then you're fire chief, right?
Sure.
And so they wanted to, you know, so the kids have a place to go to imagine and do stuff. Mm-hmm. And then for the bigger kids, they wanted to do kind of like a Chuck E. Cheese, Dave and Buster kind of concept with the game. So like you could picture a little skeeter ball thing where it goes in a little thing and 100 points here, whatever it is, and you get your tickets out of it, or the little basketball thing, and you know, you shoot it real quick, and then the points add up or whatever with the, so they kind of wanted to have, you know, the games for the older kids, you know?
Right.
And that was a really good thing, cause they knew we want to have a facility, cause we in our part of the town, we know we need to get some of these kids, you know, off the street, you know,
sure,
a place to go after school.
So let's and get so, to how you help them.
All right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. How do we help them?
Yeah.
All right. So first thing I said, we need to do some financial projections, because we're not going to do a nonprofit. We need to make sure we make money with this. Right. So I got to help them with the financial projection. They invested in me doing that. Mm-hmm. And then also we need to know what our buying power is. How much can we actually qualify? So based on that, the small business financial exchange with all those banks and stuff, we actually come together like once a year and share common practices of what the underwriting criteria, and they share that information with me. And I created a program we call a business fund analysis that basically is like a financial stress test or the PSAT for the SAT. So I figured that out. Here's how much we got. Here's what your buying power is. Here's what your vision is. And I'm a spiritual person. What I believe is once you once you put this, your vision together, you have everything together, the universe will conspire to your favor. And here's what's happened. A roller skating rink actually came up for sale. It had the pretend play, room for the pretend play, mm-hmm. had room for all the games and that kind of stuff. And, you know, what I was doing was I was reporting on their payment history because they invested in that, turned it into like a loan obligation, reported it. And then we put a contract on the property. Mm-hmm. I went to the bank because we were ready, right? We were ready. We bought the property. There was some deferred maintenance, meaning that we had to fix the roof, and there's a little pizza parlor thing in the back. We had to retool that and get some equipment and kind of redo the floor because you can't see this for the listeners, but it kind of is just shiny, like the top of my head had to do the floors and stuff. But anyway, so that was, we financed that building and, you know, that opportunity, not only just the building, but the business. And that was probably one of the most enjoyable projects that I did, because not only were we were helping them with their post-retirement plans, but also providing a staple for the community, you know, a place for these kids to go. And this was that, I mean, that was probably one of the most joyful projects that, yeah. That I did.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds great. Well, Dominic, this has been great. And I can't imagine somebody hearing this show wouldn't want to be in touch. So let's get to, how they can do that.
All right. Yeah. So, you could give us a call at office numbers, area code 205-823-9530. We have 800 number, 800-809-5629. Or you can go to, you know, our website, wallacecapitalfunding.com, or Wallace is your wall, like you lean against, and then ace, like an ace of spades, and then capital, like money, and then funding, funding.com, or you can go to keysforbusiness.com. So keysforbusiness.com, that's like one of our landing pages that we give out, you know, not only money tips, but just business tips. And we're doing the summit later.
Awesome. Too. Awesome. Dominic Wallace, folks. Dominic, this has been great. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you, John. This is great, man.
Yeah, thank you. Folks, just a quick reminder that if you've got administrative tasks in your business that are weighing you down, that might be bookkeeping needs, or maybe you're just spending too much time on, day-to-day administrative tasks, I've got an answer for you that involves picking up the phone and calling Essie Escobedo over at Office Angels. She's the chief executive angel over there, and what she does is listen to your problem and picks an angel or two to fly in, get the job done, and fly out. And they do it on an ongoing or as-needed basis. And they're terrific. I know that because they helped me with my business. 770-442-9246 is her phone number. You can also go to officeangels.us to find out more information. But give her a call. I think you'll be glad you did, and tell her I sent you. Folks, just a quick reminder that you can find this show, North Fulton Business Radio, on all the major podcast platforms. We're on all of them. I have yet to be stumped on one we're not. North Fulton Business Radio is a search term. I would love it, this is my personal request, if you would go subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star review. It's not about me. It's not about Business Radio X. Frankly, it's about our guest. We want people to find the show so they can potentially use the services of entrepreneurs and business leaders like Dominic and the other great guests that we've had on the show. We've had over 600 guests on this show, going now on 360 episodes. So if you could do that for us, we'd really appreciate it. You can also connect with us on social media. North Fulton BRX is the handle for LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So for my guest, Dominic Wallace, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.